Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Now, regarding the question you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. But I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God, of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried, just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes from me. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And the husband must not leave his wife. Verses 1 through 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is a guidebook for all of life. You give us wisdom, guidance, and counsel in every area of life and for all of life. In either direct statement or in principle, Lord, you cover everything. Thank you for the great wisdom and insight and understanding you give us through your word in the areas of relationship, sexuality, and marriage. And thank you for the fact that, Lord, we can live in these areas of our lives for your glory and the building of your kingdom as we simply listen to your word and walk in its wisdom. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace. Empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. And more empower us to walk in the wisdom of your word in the areas of our marriages, in the areas of our families, in the areas of all of our relationships. Help us more and more to live entirely for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, for coming to love us on the cross, for loving us in his resurrection life, for creating an environment where we can be without blemish, where we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for creating a place where we can thrive in your ways. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our families. Thank you so much for my wife. Help us as men to create environments for our wives to thrive as you have created a place for us to thrive. Help us to equip them as you equip us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how you provide for us, and help us to provide as you have given to us. In your holy name, amen.
Thank you, Isaac, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening in. We invite you to focus with us today on the topic, Biblical Perspectives on Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage. And I want to encourage you to really listen to what the Word of God has to say about these topics. You know, the reality is God has a lot to say about these issues and areas. And so as we share from Scripture, I want to encourage you, please take time to go back and read them, read over them over and over again. I hope that you really will do that. You know, I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and to every Christian man and woman, I would encourage you, go back, read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It has a lot to say about the area of relationships and sexuality from a Bible perspective as well. So I want to read them again. Same passages, starting with 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Listen to the wisdom God is giving to us for Christian men and Christian women to listen to. And let me say this to every parent listening. Parents, it's very important that we seek to get a Bible understanding about relationships and sexuality and preparing our children for marriage. As we go to the Word of God has so much wisdom, so much counsel in these areas. It's very important that we seek to prepare our kids to understand these topics, these issues, from a Bible perspective. The fact is, the world is glad to load us up with perverted perspectives on the areas of relationships and sexuality and marriage. And the world is pushing all sorts of perverted, wrong, wicked perspectives. So looking to the Word of God is very, very important. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting at verse 1 once again. Now, regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. But because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command, but I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God, of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried, just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And the husband must not leave his wife. Again, verses 1 through 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, again, much counsel, much wisdom that the Word of God has to say about these issues. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all, And the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Now, keep in mind, it's so important that we understand that God calls us to come to know him, and then he calls us to walk with him and to honor him in every area of life, including the area of life that addresses relationships, sexuality, and marriage as well. You know, we live in a society where lots and lots of individuals, many young people for different reasons, are choosing not to marry at all. Well, of course, keep in mind, that's each person's individual prerogative. It's each person's choice. Yet, it's important that we seek to honor God in the way we live and not try to get the benefits and the blessings of marriage as a single individual. You know, just as one preacher put it, boyfriends don't get husband privileges. It's important to understand very clearly from the Word of God, sex is for married people. It's to be between a married husband and wife, nowhere else. It's not to be between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, not to be between casual friends, not to be between strangers. The sexual union is to be found between a married husband and wife, the man and woman, and nowhere else. Yet we live in a society where lots of people are involved sexually with persons they're not married to. That's against the Word and the will of God. Many men and women are choosing just to live together, as the street term, shack up. But the fact is, that's against the Word and the will of God. Again, Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. God's Word lets us know the word fornication, of course, refers to sex outside of marriage between two individuals that aren't married to each other. Adultery is when a person is married, but they get involved sexually with someone who they're not married to. Both are wrong. Both are violating the Word of God. But if one is worse than the other, adultery involves the breaking of covenant. And covenant is a very serious issue in the Word of God. So how important it is that we find out what the Word of God has to say. And again, parents, I don't think I can overemphasize how important it is that we really seek to give and teach our children about these issues from a Bible perspective. It's a huge relationship, sexuality, and marriage. These are a huge part of life for all of us. All of us come from a family. All of us have parents. All of us have family. But the fact is, many persons are moving towards marriage or involved in dating or any of a number of these related issues. It's important that we're seeking to honor God in the way we carry ourselves as it relates to all these concerns. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 20, 27, it tells us, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So one thing that the Bible is very clear on, there are two genders. There's male and female. There are no more. And it's very important that we understand that we believe that, and we stand on what the Word of God has to say there. There aren't 52 genders. There aren't 100 genders. There are two, male and female. That's per God's Word. And there's so much more God has to teach us about these areas that are honoring to him in the way we carry ourselves. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the fact that your Word gives us counsel, wisdom, and understanding to help us to understand all these issues from your perspective. They're tools to help us to glorify you in these areas of our lives. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to have a growing hunger to fill our hearts and our minds with what your Word has to say about relationships and sexuality and marriage. And help us to follow you in the way we walk in these areas of our lives. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As today we're looking at the topic, Biblical Perspectives on Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage. We'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
music of Lincoln Brewster with Made New. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Biblical Perspectives on Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage. And again, the Word of God has a wealth of wisdom to share on these topics. How important it is that we really seek to follow His counsel, His wisdom. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 18, it tells us these words of wisdom. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Again, a wealth of wisdom and counsel God's Word has to say about relationships. Note at the beginning of this passage, in Genesis 2, verse 18, God Himself said, "It is not good that man should be alone." God made us to desire companionship. He made us to desire relationships, and that's a big part of all of our lives. Some of the most wonderful parts of our lives deal with the relationships within our lives, and so it's important that we seek to honor God in the way we carry ourselves in these areas of life. How important it is that we stay away from deviations from God's Word and perversions. And the fact is, it's important to understand that, again, it's God's will that men and women would desire one another and seek to build relationships, but again, according to His wisdom. Keep in mind, as we mentioned earlier, there are two genders, male and female, no others. Again, homosexuality is a sin. Lesbianism is a sin. And many of the other perversions that are out there, they're against the Word and the will of God. Remember, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God can help deliver us from any and all the perversions that are out there. But our job is to seek God and His way of doing things. That's very, very important. Using passages of Scripture like this are important for us as parents, and teaching and training, guiding our children to understand things from a Bible perspective. Keep in mind, parents, if we don't disciple our children, the world will disciple them in darkness. And that's exactly what is happening in the lives of too many young people. They're not being discipled from a Bible perspective, but many of them are being discipled through their cell phones, through things they watch on TV, through perverted movies and wicked and dark things maybe that they listen to, read, or learn about from the internet. It's important, parents, that we're very deliberate in taking the Word of God and the wisdom of God's Word in teaching them about this very important area of our lives. Again, one of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not commit adultery." Well, it's important that we clearly teach our children, as the Word of God points out very clearly, sex is for married people. Is to be between a husband and wife, nowhere else. Not to be between boyfriend and girlfriend. Not to be between people who, men and women who choose to just start to live together. That's against the Word and the will of God. And it's important to be between a married man and woman who are genuinely married with biblical covenant as well. Keep in mind, you don't find the marriage ceremony in the Bible per se, but you find the elements of genuine marriage, one of which is covenant. A husband and wife are to commit, under God, they're to commit to one another to be faithful in marriage till death do us part. And you know, today, sometimes when you hear the marriage vows that sometimes couples make up, sadly, many of them are not biblical at all. Instead of saying till death do us part, some of the marriage vows that couples come up with is until we get tired of each other or till we don't like each other anymore, which almost sound comical if they weren't real. The reality is biblical covenant between a husband and wife is to be till death do us part. That's the goal, and that's to be what every couple should be striving for as well. So again, these are truths that we need to live out ourselves and that we need to teach and train our children in as well. Again, as we alluded to earlier, the reality is many young folks are choosing not to marry today. But the reality is we, the church, it's important that we're challenging young folks, get married. Pursue getting married. And keep in mind, don't take the devil's lie when a person, when you hear the devil more or less tell you, oh, it's impossible. There's nobody good out there. There aren't good men and women out there. Keep in mind, if you ask God for his guidance, his will, God knows how to bring together the right people. But we need to pursue doing things his way rather than making our own way and deciding we're going to do things on our own the way we choose to do them. It's important that we seek to honor God in these areas. I want to share with you an article that we've shared before, but it bears repeating here. The article is entitled Biblical Images of Manhood, and we want to challenge men that are listening today, prayerfully look at deciding, I'm going to get married. Get married. Don't live outside of marriage, but trying to pursue the benefits and the blessings of marriage. Again, sex is for married people. Between husband and wife and nowhere else. Again, the title is entitled Biblical Images of Manhood. In the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, there are many truths, insights, and stories that help to paint a clear picture, a portrait of sorts of what a man is. They specifically paint a picture of what a godly man is. Now, I should say very quickly, there's only one man in all of the Word of God that perfectly paints such a perfect picture for us. That man is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone stands as our only perfect role model. He's the only man who lived a perfect, completely perfect life without sin in all of the Word of God. There are, though, other individual characteristics that we find in some of the other men of the Bible that are definitely characteristics to be desired. A number of these traits could be appreciated by any and all men. In looking at the lives of many characters in the Bible, we learn important attributes and characteristics that we as men of God should seek to attain and receive into our lives as well. Also, in this day and time, there's a tremendous need in the world for a clear understanding of what a real man, a godly man, really is. And there's an outstanding need to paint a picture, a clear portrait of what a godly man looks like based on the wisdom of God's powerful word. What are some biblical characteristics and some biblical standards that help us see and define what a godly man really looks like? Let's consider some. He has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. See John 3:16 and Romans 10:9. And he seeks to be a man like David after God's own heart. See Psalm 23. He seeks to read the Word of God every single day for himself. See Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, verse 105. Next, he spends time in prayer every day. See Mark 1:35 and Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Also, he seeks to have a time daily to bring the family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word of God, and to pray together. See Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, and Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Next, he takes and or makes time to train and instruct his children, teaching them about God, the Word of God, and teaching them wisdom in all the areas of life. See Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and Proverbs 4, 1 through 6. Also, he seeks to lead and take his family to church regularly, such as worship on Sunday mornings and Bible study on Wednesdays. See Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. Also, he has a sense of mission in his life. He seeks with passion to fulfill the specific call of God on his life, whatever that calling or callings may be. See Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. Next, he works hard to provide for his family. See 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Keep in mind, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. See Genesis chapter 2. Next, he is a protector for his family. See Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Next, he lives the life of a good role model for his family and others. See Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He also has the wisdom and the courage to take responsibility, to deal with problems head on. He takes responsibility and doesn't run from it. See 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. A man, a godly man, has a love for God and a maturity and an authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. A real man has perspectives that are biblical and honorable. A real man is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious, and they are to be honored and protected by men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women and girls. A real man does not take advantage of a woman. He respects women and will not be involved with a woman sexually unless he has first won her heart and put a ring on her finger and married her beforehand. Boys ask questions while men give answers. Boys play house while men build homes. Boys shack up while men get married. Boys make babies while men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them while men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school's a waste of their time. Men recognize the importance of and the value of education. They desire to be educated and or to gain skills in life in order to reach their full potential in life. The world in which we live is in tremendous need of faithful, godly men. Pray that God will raise up more and more of them who understand the importance, the important place, and the call of God upon their lives to be men after God's own heart in their homes and in society and in culture as well. Again, the title of this article, Biblical Images of Manhood. If you'd like to get a copy, email us at joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get a copy to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Again, we're looking today at the topic, Biblical Perspectives on Relationships and Sexuality and Marriage. Again, one of the challenges that the church needs to lay before men, as well as along with the challenge, we need to be discipling men, but we need to challenge a lot of men, get married. Don't be involved with this person and that person and this individual and that person. Again, keep in mind, that's violating the word and the will of God. That's violating that person, and that's living a life that dishonors the Lord as a lifestyle. And if you want to serve God, you can't live like that. It's important that we seek to honor God in this very important area of our lives, seeking to live a life that glorifies God in all of your relationships. So I'm not able to overemphasize how important that is. Now, again, Scripture has many more insights and truths to teach us about relationships, and I just want to share a few more passages that address many of these same issues. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So in other words, a person can commit adultery, obviously, through the physical act, but also through just looking at pictures and things, just like, for example, pornography is a big problem in our culture today. Many, many years ago, men had to go out and men or women had to go out and buy magazines to look at pornography. But sadly, through technology today, pornography comes looking for you. Many times on your cell phone, pictures and images and things pop up. They come after you, in a sense, looking for you rather than you having to go out and purchase something. It's important that we understand we live in a world full of temptation, and it's important that we seek to grow to a spiritual maturity where we decide we're going to both avoid these temptation traps, but also set up guardrails to help us to avoid those kinds of things. Because again, temptation comes from many different directions, but our goal is to seek to honor God. And so setting up lives where we carry ourselves with wisdom is very important here as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace. Help us to be wise enough to carry ourselves in such a way that more and more we're glorifying you in all these areas of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking today at the topic, biblical perspectives on relationships, sexuality, and marriage. We'll be right back. Music of Covenant Church with I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today, our topic is biblical perspectives on relationships, sexuality, and marriage. And as we've alluded to a number of times, God's Word has a lot to teach us, a lot of wisdom, a lot of counsel, a lot of good guidance to help us to honor Him in the way we carry ourselves in the area of relationship, sexuality, and marriage. Again, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral, and adulterous." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it tells us, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, it says, "But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Keep in mind, again, so much insight and wisdom is found in the Word of God. It's important that we seek out that wisdom and seek to ask God to help us to live according to its wisdom. We find individuals in Scripture whose lives we can learn important lessons from. Samson was one of the judges in the book of Judges, a great man, highly gifted of God, but Some of his biggest failures were in the area of relationships and sexuality. He didn't always honor God in this area of his life, and it did lead to his downfall. He served God, but his life could have been so much more had he sought to honor God as he should have in the area of relationships and sexuality. David in the Bible is known as a man after God's own heart. He's next, of course, the greatest king Israel ever had and does have, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But next to under Christ, the next greatest king, of course, was King David. David is a towering figure in all of the Word of God. Yet some of his biggest mistakes in life were in the area of relationships, sexuality, and marriage as well. David had a number of wives, but the reality is he committed adultery at a certain point in time and then ended up having a man murdered, and great trouble came to his family as a result of his sin. Some of his biggest, again, mistakes related to his shortcomings in the area of relationships and sexuality. His son Solomon was king as well. Solomon, too, prayed and asked God for wisdom. And God gave him great wisdom, but sadly, Solomon didn't always apply the wisdom that he had. As we learn from the Bible, Solomon had 1,000 wives. And according to God's word, part of what that means is if he had 1,000 wives, and he did, that means he had 999 too many. He should have had one wife. And eventually, some of his foreign wives began, God had warned him not to do that. But because of him having married many foreign women, many of them later on in his life began to lead him astray and to lead him to go after other gods, which led to great trouble for all of Israel. So again, it's important that we understand that this area of life is an area of life with many challenges, and much temptation comes to us through this area of our life. So our goal should be to honor God in the way we carry ourselves in the area of relationships and sexuality, and what the Bible teaches us about marriage, seeking to do things according to God's wisdom. You know, the book of Ruth is a love story, a powerful love story. In the book of Ruth, actually we see where a poor woman who'd lost her husband Ruth is a widow in the first chapter. But in chapter 3, Ruth actually proposes to Boaz, and Boaz, as the way the story works out, he does accept. And you might think, well, that's a little unusual, isn't it? Usually it's the man that proposes. Well, in this case, not only was it appropriate, but it honored God, and it ended up being a blessing, so that Ruth married Boaz, and God blessed their marriage and also placed them in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, a great, beautiful love story. The book of Song of Solomon, powerful, powerful insights on love and marriage. I want to share with you one additional article entitled Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. Not again. As the new pastor of Leonard Chapel, I had serious concerns over something I'd seen in the church directory. The name of two members, let's call them Mr. Brown and Ms. Rice, were in different places in the directory, but under each was the same address. A mistake, perhaps? Or I thought, hopefully, maybe a coincidence that some innocent explanation could explain. But alas, that was not the case. Soon I learned a truth I really didn't want to hear. Mr. Brown and Ms. Rice were living together, functioning as husband and wife, but had never chosen to marry. They'd lived together for many years and had a number of children together. Still, for whatever reason, they hadn't chosen to get married. I knew this was not a matter to rush into headlong. It needed to be addressed prayerfully and carefully with the clear wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit. And quite honestly, I found myself dragging my feet about dealing with it. Ms. Rice was attending faithfully and was very attentive in church, and Mr. Brown came as well, though not as regularly as Ms. Rice. It appeared that, at least on some level, they were truly seeking God and His righteousness. Why shake things up? But over time, the Holy Spirit kept nudging me to speak to the couple about their cohabitation. My reluctance to act on that nudge stemmed in part from an incident that had happened a few years earlier when I was serving a different congregation and a similar situation came to light. In that case, two people in key leadership positions in the church were living together, unmarried, and I felt led to lovingly confront them. So carefully, biblically, and with love, I approached them and tried to communicate that as believers, it's important for us to do things God's way. Well, without going into great detail, let me say that my attempts at biblical diplomacy in this situation basically just blew up in my face. The two individuals were highly offended, and with significant support from others in the church, they took action. And in a very short time, I was no longer the pastor of that church, and that was that. Now, facing a similar case, part of me felt I had good reason to decide not to touch this situation with a 10-foot pole. Still, the Holy Spirit was definitely directing me otherwise. Then one day, a few months later, the Lord arranged a chance for me to meet with Miss Rice. I'd hoped to meet with the couple together, but that scenario didn't work out quite initially. Instead, my wife and I had an opportunity to sit quietly with Miss Rice. Now, allow me to be clear on this point. People are too precious to be handled roughly or abrasively, or even when we're giving them the truth. God's word directs us to speak the truth in love. So the three of us, my wife and I and she, sat and talked. Again, basically, we said, Miss Rice, you come to church regularly, faithfully. You're very attentive and you seem to have a genuine love for the Lord and the things of God. Yet, I want to graciously bring this issue before you to consider. Why not do things God's way and get married? To be honest, I didn't know what reaction to expect, whether offense, anger, or something else. Initially, Miss Rice sat graciously and quietly, saying nothing. She seemed to be thinking deeply about my words, and it was as though I could see her heart in her eyes, which were shining with tears at this point. The first thing she said was, "How did you know?" After I explained briefly about the quote-unquote coincidence of their addresses in the directory, we began to talk together, and afterward, an ongoing three-way conversation developed between Miss Rice, my wife, and me, and she decided, I do want to go ahead and get married. We met and had a chance to talk to Mr. Brown soon after that, and they decided, yep, let's get married. The two of them decided that they would move in that direction. Well, the date arrived, and the wedding was beautiful. Their three daughters were in the wedding party, and as I watched their proud procession, I could not help thinking what a positive message and life lesson this was to the three children from their parents, that they would finally begin to do things according to God's word and His way. A number of other relatives were either in the wedding or present to witness the momentous occasion. One of Ms. Rice's sisters said that she'd been praying for this for years. Of course, I personally felt privileged not only to witness the wedding, but also to perform the ceremony. I remember distinctly during those precious moments of the solemnization, seeing the tears of joy streaming down Ms. Rice's face. I believe those were tears that flowed from a heart that was seeing a long-awaited dream finally fulfilled in her life. Praise God. Besides making a public affirmation of their lifelong commitment to one another, those unconventional newlyweds also sent a very powerful message out that day, not only to their family, but to the whole community, that marriage, as God ordained it, is more than a domestic arrangement, more than a civil union, and far more than something two people just decide to do or not do, depending on their emotional attachment or personal convenience. Marriage, done according to the word and the will of God, is a blessed and honorable estate. It's an act of community and of communion designed to reflect the mystery of God's divine love for His people, even as it establishes a family within His kingdom. Remember, marriage is ordained of God, and God's way is the best way to do anything. Again, the title of the article, Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, we've looked at the topic, biblical perspectives on relationships and sexuality and marriage. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and have never given your life to Christ, today is a good day, a great day to make that step. Would you like to make that step today? If so, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you every day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to get to you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. Or if you'd like the copies of the articles we shared today, the two articles were Biblical Images of Manhood, the first article, and the second article, Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get one or both of them to you. Thanks for listening again today. We were looking at the topic, Biblical Perspectives on Relationships and Sexuality and Marriage. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.